Welcome to the European CME Forum podcast. European CME Forum is a not-for-profit organization that promotes multi-channel discussion on matters relating to European and global CME CPD. My name is Eugene Pozniak. I'm the program director of European CME Forum. In this episode, I'm in conversation with Kathy Chappell, senior vice president of the American Nurses Credentialing Center and guest editor of the JECME 2022 Special Collection. The focus of today's episode is this year's JECME Special Collection on Innovation and Impact in CME CPD. Hi, Kathy, and welcome to this podcast. Thank you very much for joining me today to discuss the 2022 Special Collection.
Thanks, Eugene. I'm thrilled to be here. And I'm thrilled that we're able to put together this really unique special contribution to the journal.
Perfect. So it'll be great to spend a few minutes today to actually go through a few of these things. But to start off, to help people who may not know you, who you are, can you introduce yourself, please?
Sure. My current position is a senior vice president at the American Nurses Credentialing Center. And ANCC, as it's called, is the credentialing arm of the American Nurses Association. So I have several departments at ANCC. I have our accreditation program. So we credential organizations that do nursing continuing professional development. And with our colleagues in medicine and pharmacy, we launched a credential called joint accreditation. And that's for organizations that are interested in developing interprofessional continuing education. And we also set, under accreditation, we also set standards for nurse residency and fellowship programs. So both for registered nurses and advanced practice registered nurses like a nurse practitioner. And then my other departments are the certification and measurement department. So we build and run right now 18 active board certifications for registered nurses and advanced practice nurses. I also have our Institute of Research and Quality Management. So we look at kind of the relationship between a credential and an outcome. And I have our newest department, which is called Advanced Practice Initiatives. And it's all about the support that we provide advanced practice nurses via education, via certification, via policy and advocacy, that type of work. By clinical background, I'm an ICU and ER nurse, but I've done a lot of different roles in nursing over the years.
Wow. So that's quite an incredible continuing education track record and background, and you're certainly fully active in that field right
fully
now.
Fully active, I would say, yes.
And for this year, you've already started sort of describing the special collection, and but can you describe a bit how this came about? I mean, clearly, Robin Stevenson is keen to continue with the special collections. It's now the third year that it's running, but can you describe some of the steps that have been taken to get us to this point?
Sure. Well, as a member of the board for JECME, I got to certainly participate in the idea of a new special collection, and then volunteered to lead a small team, small but powerful interprofessional team that was willing to be the editors and kind of collate this special collection. So we have people from around the world. It's really interprofessional. It's nursing, it's healthcare professional educators, it's physicians, people who are in administration in CE associations, and represent different areas of the world. So we have the US, we have Ireland, we have the Netherlands, we have Morocco, and we have Sri Lanka. So I think it's a very, to me, unique. I'm not sure that the editorial kind of engine or team that's pulling a special collection together has been quite as diverse, and I'm not sure it's been quite as global, but we pulled that group together. Everybody is passionate and experts in the CPD field, and we talked about kind of what would we want this special collection to look like. We felt like our opportunity, somewhat coming out of the COVID pandemic, but which kind of launched a lot of creativity and innovation, but we really wanted to highlight a couple areas. We wanted to highlight the interprofessional nature. We wanted to highlight innovation and impact in CPD. So things that were unique, different, may or may not have been related to the COVID pandemic. but how are organizations, individuals, trying new things, seeing how their maybe delivery mechanisms are different, how their learner engagement strategies are different, how they've reskilled faculty perhaps to teach in different models. And then what's been the impact? What's been the impact in terms of, could just use, you know, Kirkpatrick or any of the kind of theories, but how has it changed, increased knowledge, skills, changed practice, had an impact on patient outcomes, maybe expanded reach? I think via COVID, we've seen by flipping to more digital models of delivery, people or, you know, whoever is teaching have expanded reach in different ways. But I also think challenges are important to think about. Where have we been effective? And maybe I'd even love to see things like, well, I tried this and it was an abysmal failure, but that's a good lesson learned too. And I don't think we publish a lot of those kinds of things. Like, I tried this, thought it was a great idea, failed horribly, and here's what I would do in the future. And those kind of stories are good to share.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's not about best practice, but it's the successes and what didn't quite go correctly, which were valuable lessons for all of us in the industry, definitely.
Yeah, they are. We want to always highlight, it's nice to highlight the best practices, you know, things that went really well that you want to showcase. And that's great. But it's not bad to highlight the things that you tried and were ineffective, and maybe the lessons learned and what you would do differently in the future.
Great. No, that's a lovely description. So an all-encompassing kind of view. It's very specific to looking at the innovation and impact side of things, but yes. But the language you're using, the descriptions, it's not specific to CME, CPD. Of course, you're using the term continuing education, CE, a lot of the time, but it sounds like you'll be looking for papers outside of this scope as well, as long as it can impact somehow on medical education in some way.
Yeah, I think medical education in some way, probably more in the practicing clinicians, right? So CME, CPD, CE, with not necessarily students, but really moving more into with practicing clinicians would be an area. And then when we looked at kind of the buckets or groupings of papers, we were thinking we wanted to look at, you know, kind of research. So qualitative, quantitative, mixed method studies is one area. And you know, certainly there's a lot more rigor around that type of a manuscript and the conclusions from a well-designed research study. So there's that. But we're also looking at kind of short communications or perspective papers. And then also thinking about like our aha moment, short submissions that highlight a particular area, perspective, a theme that enables people, particularly those maybe who don't publish on a regular basis, so shorter papers, but more volume, and the ability to be published in a peer-reviewed index journal as a new author would be a really great area to expand submission. So I'm really looking forward to what we're going to see.
Absolutely. And can you describe a little bit more about the your editorial team that you've brought together and how they will be tasked with supporting you in this special collection?
Right. So great question. So as I said, we have nurses, we have physicians, we have people who are in healthcare associations, we have medical educators who have a lot of experience. And what I'm hoping with that group, and actually they are really eager to get started, as you and I talked about, they've already been tapping me on the shoulder saying, okay, we're ready. What they are going to do is reach out through their networks and disseminate the call for manuscripts. So with whatever lever they have, if they have internal newsletters, if they have personal connections with people that they can reach out and ask them to consider submitting, if they have, you know, something like just distribution groups, email distribution groups, but also social media, whatever levers that some of them are social media influencers. So their ability to send out the call for manuscripts to a very wide audience is really an asset for getting this out and encouraging people to submit. Once we're asking for submissions by July, by the end of July, we're looking for a late fall publication, though some articles might come out earlier because they are online, so they can be easily accessed. That editorial team, not only will they recruit people to submit manuscripts, they will be part of identifying reviewers that will vet the manuscripts for inclusion in this special collection. So they have a variety of different roles that are critically important to collating a nice collection. But they are, as I said, well known in their particular fields and very excited about the possibility of supporting this special collection. And then we're hoping as a group, we have, I think it was 7 or 8, I should have had the list in front of me. We are hoping to present at this year's ECF in Barcelona, right? We're gonna be in Barcelona?
That's our plan A at the moment. Yep.
That's our plan A. So I'm hoping at least some will be able to come to Barcelona and we'll be able to share kind of, again, where we were successful, what strategies we used, and highlights from submissions for the special collection.
That sounds great. That's sort of the tranche of publications to be aimed for sort of middle of October, I think will be the main ones. And you're describing you would want to identify a few papers to publish a little bit earlier in the year as well, just to keep things ticking over for the collection. And if a potential author has a question, maybe they have got a negative experience they want to discuss with someone or just talk through the most suitable format for publication, would you be okay for people to approach you with questions?
Absolutely. I think they can certainly approach me, or if they were recruited or, you know, kind of got the information from one of the members of the small editorial team, they could certainly reach out to that individual also. And I think that's a really good point, because I would encourage people to reach out and just maybe confirm that their idea is something that matches this special collection. It's wonderful to publish, but as you know, and I know, you know, having been editors for different journals, sometimes authors are submit manuscripts that are not quite a match either for the journal itself or for that particular theme. So if somebody is not sure but has an idea, I would encourage them to reach out either to myself or one of the other members of the editorial team, and maybe talk through their idea. And I'll give you an example. You know, somebody might say, well, I designed this course and, you know, I had an interprofessional audience and we were able to demonstrate A, B, and C. So that may or may not be innovative, or that may or may not be particularly impactful, but by having, it may be kind of routine for CME or CPD. And what I would hope is that we might be able to draw out what is the specific impact that they might want to highlight in their submission, or why was that particular CE activity innovative? And so sometimes it helps just to talk through, you know, kind of here's what I did. And then somebody from the editorial team can talk through, well, was that a new strategy that you were using? Did you reach more people in that way? Did you change practice in a way you didn't expect? Did you not change practice? And maybe, you know, that's something that you'd want to think, well, why didn't I, or something like that. So I would encourage people to take a few minutes before they go through the process of putting together a manuscript, which is not a... that's work to do, right? It's important to get publications in, but it's work. So to the extent certainly reach out to one of us and let's have a conversation about kind of what is the theme of this special collection.
And that's really good to hear as well, and especially for perhaps the first time authors, as you've been describing, to feel reassured that they're not on their own and it's not just this big box that they're submitting to and somehow there's a rejection or an acceptance that comes back, but it is an iterative process. It can involve discussions and people can get guidance as to how
absolutely
to best present their work. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not a test, right? It's not a final test. It's we want to be encouraging. We want to be mentors. We want to, collate the best group of manuscripts that we can.
Absolutely. And even if there is a submission that's perhaps out of scope of the special collection, JECME as a journal is still publishing papers normally. So it would just be triaged through Robin Stevenson and the journal side of things. And of course, the normal publishing route is there. So it's not that the journal is just focusing on these papers in innovation and impact in CE, but yeah, of course it's
really good point. Yeah, really good point. So it's not, it may not be a, you know, may or may not fit this particular special collection, but certainly may fit another area or, you know, an opportunity for publication too.
Great. Yeah. So people should get in touch with any of their ideas. Yeah. Make sure that it goes down the right route. But yeah, to have this special collection and to focus, as you've already mentioned, in Barcelona is to bring the highlights from the special collection to the meeting itself, to have multiple engagement with authors. So it's not just a one and done, someone submitting their paper and it being published, but we'll have the video support and also further conversations with the aim of meeting in Barcelona to actually expand on these conversations will be really fascinating as well.
It will be. It will be. And I really love the idea of engaging new authors too in publishing. That's it's a skill set to develop that is, you know, for healthcare professionals or whatever, wherever you are, to be able to write well, succinctly, convey your point. So I think I would love to see great submissions from new authors highlighting their particular areas.
Yeah, no, and it ties in nicely with the objectives of JECME in the first place. They're to have something, it's based in or started off in Europe, although now it's becoming much more global, but it's to have something outside of North America where there is much more discipline around publishing work, but to allow first-time authors especially, or people who don't normally publish their work in education, to actually have a vehicle to showcase their work. And that's what we've seen over the past years is the first-time authors, the unusual authors, the ones who aren't used to publishing their work, coming forward and sharing their work, which is so important around the world. Yeah,
it absolutely. And the other nice thing about this particular editorial team, I think, is we have representation from countries where there is no formal CE system or CPD system. There is no requirement for a nurse or a physician or a pharmacist to engage in continuing professional development as a condition of licensure, so we will see, I think, very different perspectives from the global world that will represent what CE CPD systems look like. And there's an opportunity for shared learning across. There's an opportunity, I think, for, you know, coming out of the United States, we have a very structured CE system that is CBD system that is in almost every profession tied to licensure in all of our states. So for an organization maybe in that kind of system to be thinking about delivering CE or CPD in another country or engaging physicians or nurses or from another country, and that country doesn't have a formal CE or CPD system. Like, what would you want to think about if you were designing education? We have one potential submitter that I've talked to that is delivering CE via in the African countries via mobile devices, and they are demonstrating real fantastic engagement and reach and broadening out that started in nursing, but beyond the professions. So, you know, they've had to think about how they're going to engage people across a continent in a different model, maybe than they would have thought about originally. Well, I reached out and I said, absolutely, this is innovation, this is impact, this is reach, you know, would you be willing to submit to share your lessons learned that other people might, other educational providers or whoever might want to think about, whether that's something that, you know, they might want to look at that as a lesson learned. They might want to reach out and say, can we have a conversation? You know, how were you successful? How is this platform working, et cetera? So I think that's what excites me about being able to look at, you know, kind of around the world, what people are doing.
Yeah. And we've been seeing this over the past few years in the journal itself, the kind of submissions we're getting, it's outside of that formal accredited education system. Yeah, the innovation comes about through sort of the needs. And ultimately, all healthcare professionals want to stay up to date. They need to stay up to date and know what the latest techniques are just for improving patient outcomes. It doesn't have to be within a formal accreditation structure. And especially in COVID times, while we've all been hunkering down and not having our traditional access to the education, that we're starting to see this innovation coming out, people finding new and clever ways of disseminating education or educating themselves. And I'm sharing your excitement actually to see what kind of submissions we get from around the world, whether it's accredited or not. It's really very important to hear people's stories and seeing how they're meeting these challenges.
Yeah. We're also thinking like from different stakeholders. So if you're a regulator, what's important to you as a regulator? If you are, you know, a funder, what's important to you as a funder? If you're a learner, we're all learners really, but you know, from a particular perspective, maybe you're geographically a little bit more distant, you know, not even, what would be important to you in order, to your point, to provide the best possible care that you can, you know, from the clinical standpoint, or be the best teacher you can be, or researcher you can be, or administrator. So I think that's a really good point. You know, there are accreditation systems, there are places where there's no accreditation system, that, you know, I'm also on the accreditor side, so I can speak to the value of that, but not, certainly, absolutely not limited to formal accredited CE kind of program, but as broad and diverse that we can represent what's happening around the world in CE and CPD from a variety of different perspectives is what we wanted to achieve.
And then we should spend a few minutes discussing the fee for submitting an article to the journal.
Yeah.
Of course, we've been talking about this ourselves for a bit, and you've already mentioned the main article types that you'll be accepting for the special collection. But if people are interested in submitting, the information will be on the website. There are tiered levels of submission fees. And also there are possibilities of waivers and discounts as well. So it's not just a case of there's the full WAC fee, there is this tiered approach, because we really want to include as many people as possible. And as actually you've been talking about, especially from outside, from North America and Europe, but there are waivers available for countries in more interesting parts of the world to ensure that, you know, there aren't barriers for people to submit.
Yeah, thanks, Eugene. I think that's a really important point, because, and something that I really appreciate the journal has offered as support for authors. And I think, you know, just to remind people, this is an open access journal. So journals that charge a fee is how they generate revenue, advertising and things like that. And then people are able to submit without a fee. But in an open access journal where you know, may have very broad reach, the way that the journal funds itself then is through fee to publish. So I appreciate the fact that there are some areas of the world, some organizations that will have the resources to fund their manuscript submission. And there are some areas of the world, as you said, that this is going to be more challenging. So I think that the tiered fee structure is such a value for the professions, such a resource for authors to be able to look at kind of the different opportunities to submit and within you know, parameters that are reflective of you know, potentially low and middle income countries that have a free or discounted rate versus the more well-resourced countries and organizations that we appreciate their support in being able to pay the fees in order to submit, because it really supports kind of the broader community of those who are interested in CPD and CE.
Yeah, and of course, it means that the articles are free to the reader.
It means the articles are free to the reader. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So for those who want to get, you know, that they become well known and disseminated through a publication that's open access like CheckMe.
So, and of course, everything published to date is there at CheckMe.org. And so people are quite free to just go in there, take a look at the archives, look at the previous special collections as well. And that could also, you know, once they see your descriptions as well, the letter that you've issued, giving more details about how potential authors can submit to the special collection. Yeah, they can take a look at the previous ones as well, see the kind of articles that have been submitted as well, and see if that can also influence potential authors to submit.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Great. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Kathy. I mean, is there anything else you'd like to say related to this, or any other thoughts that have come to mind?
No, I would say having vetted a lot of articles, manuscripts, if English is your second language, it may help, because this is published, right? In a journal that will be written in English. I would encourage people maybe to vet, you know, have somebody else read it. I, as much as I publish, I always reach out and have somebody else read what I wrote to make sure that it's clear, it's concise, I'm conveying my point, tighten up whatever, you know, language to be as succinct and powerful as possible. So, and I publish on a regular basis. So for anybody publishing, I would strongly encourage you to use your friends and peers to give you feedback on what you're submitting so that it's the best possible product it can be. And we look forward to seeing kind of the wealth of knowledge shared widely around the world through this special collections one. Very eager to see this.
Yeah, and such an important point. Yeah, to really to be able to put your best foot forward for the to make sure that the language is as clear as possible. And of course, the publisher itself, as in Taylor and Francis, do offer a proofreading service or an English language support service as well. So there are routes to actually have a third party look over your paper as well. Yeah,
I would strongly encourage that. That's a really good point to bring out. And the more polished the manuscript is coming in, the faster the review time. So, you know, having worked with authors where we're going back and forth with multiple versions, making corrections, just is time consuming. It's time consuming for the reviewer. It's time consuming for the editor, and it's time consuming for the author. You know, as much pre-work, vetting, polishing that can be done prior to the final submission really is just a benefit for everybody. And it will speed up, you know, kind of the final review of those manuscripts.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, that's perfect. Thank you so much, Kathy. And so really people can just go to CheckMe.org. Take a look through the pages and the guidance there, reach out to Kathy or her team. We should be able to direct you to other people if need be. Yeah, good luck.
Thank you.
I look forward to staying in touch over the next few months. And I hope that we'll have an excellent special collection for this year.
I'm sure we will. And I'll see you in Barcelona.
if not before, I'm sure. Thanks, Kathy.
Thank you, Eugene. Take care.
Yes, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was Kathy Chappell, guest editor of the 2022 Special Collection on Innovation and Impact in CME CPD, joining me to discuss this year's collection. JECME is a PubMed-indexed open-access journal of the European CME Forum, publishing articles that address aspects of CME CPD planning, design, delivery, assessment, and regulation. More information can be found on the journal website jecme.org. Thank you for listening, and join us for more episodes as we explore all things CME CPD.